God is a fortress and a help in time of trouble. And we're going to begin by singing about that truth with number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Let's stand as we sing and praise to the Lord. A mighty fortress is our God. Thank you for your truth that abides forever. We thank you that we can come together here today to worship you, to look to you as our mighty fortress. And we thank you for all that you are. Lord, we pray that you would bless our worship service here this morning. We pray that our hearts would be humbled before you. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth here. And we thank you for this opportunity we have. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Well, I do want to welcome each of you here to our service. And thank you for starting off the month with us here together, today being November 1st. And it's hard to believe that we're already to November here in 2020, but here we are. And we also want to say hello to those that are listening on the recording here this morning, or it's probably not this morning when you're listening to it, but thank you for joining with us and worshiping. And we'd like to hear from you. So if you are listening to this, you're taking that time, just encourage you to send us a note at least and let us know that you are joining with us. And we'd like to know who is and just think of you as we worship here. This is for our announcements here. We've got some events that are coming up tonight. We're planning on an elders meeting. Our meeting got rescheduled from last week, so hopefully today at 5 o'clock the elders will be meeting, and so we're trying that again this evening. And then tonight at 6:30 is our evening service. Just want to invite you all back out for that time, and again, encourage you to think of a testimony that you could share. That's part of the benefit of that time we have. We take time to share what the Lord has done in our lives. And sometimes you have to think about that just a little bit before you are able to share something. And so be thinking about that and come tonight for that testimony time. And let me say to you that are listening, we'd like to have you give a testimony sometime. And, you know, I think we could have a call-in testimony. And I know that may be a little bit different, but I think we can do it. Those of you, we could have you live here Sunday night with call-in testimony. So if you'd like to do that, let me know, and we can get it set up. So that's for those who can't come. This Tuesday, of course, is Election Day. How many of you are going to vote on Tuesday? You're going to go in and do it on Tuesday. All right, so we have some that are going to do that. How many of you have already done it? You've already gone and maybe absentee, or you went into the Board of Elections? Okay, good job. All right, so we need to pray for our country. It's a very important election. I'm sure you're aware of that. But God's in control, and we're trusting the Lord to give us what our nation needs in His sight. We're going to continue to do some outreach on Wednesdays. I keep moving that time up because it's getting dark. But we're going to try to be out in our community 4:30 on Wednesday and just continue to reach out. We do still have a few more of our gospel packages. If any of you would like to take a few more and give them out, we do have some more there. All that's left is out there on the table. But we do have, I think, around 40 or so, a little more than 40. And so still have a chance to do that. Maybe you haven't done it yet. Feel free to take a few more of those gospel packages. The next ladies' fellowship is planned for November the 14th. That's a Saturday. And they're planning to meet at Mickey DeWeese's home in Chesterville. And so ladies, hope that you'll plan on that. And hello to Mickey DeWeese as well. I think she is one that's listening, so I'm sure you know about that too, Mrs. DeWeese, but the lady is looking forward to coming to your house. Our Thanksgiving service is a special time for us every year to come together and really focus on Thanksgiving, personal Thanksgiving, and we're going to have a service, as we do every year, to devote to Thanksgiving, and again, we are going to encourage you to share a testimony of thanks. Maybe it would encompass this past year and what you're thankful for. And so we're planning to do that. What's going to be different this year is the time of that service. It's going to be on November 22nd, that's Sunday, Sunday night, but we're going to move it up to 5 p.m. We're moving it up. And so it may actually be daylight for you to come. And then after that service, we're planning to have a Plymouth Plantation dinner. And so we'd like to have our young people serve that dinner here at the church and have them dress up either as a pilgrim or an Indian. Because, of course, when they had that first Thanksgiving, they had both the pilgrims and the Indians came too. So we need to have some Indians to be there for that dinner. And so we're going to ask them to dress up as either an Indian or a pilgrim. You can choose which one you want to do. And we'll open it up for the adults, too. If you want to dress up as a pilgrim or an Indian, you're welcome to do that, too. But we'd like to have the young people do the serving. And so the adults will just be doing the sitting and eating. And so we'd like to have the others do the serving. So that'll be after that Thanksgiving service here at the church. And so that's our plan for Thanksgiving here. Then the last Sunday of the month, the Perez family is planning to be here on Sunday evening, November 29th. They're planning to be here, giving a report on their church planting work there in Atlanta. And they are doing that among the Hispanics. And so they're going to be here to just give a report to us on their ministry. Let me say again, if you know of somebody who can't come to church because of the pandemic or maybe other reasons they're not able to come, we do have ways that they can join with us. And we do have these cards that are available that you can give to them if they'd want to listen online to the service recordings, or if they'd like to have a CD and they don't have the computer or internet, they do have a CD player, maybe they could request that. There's a form on the back where you can just put their name and we'll send them a CD. And so just want to make you aware of those. If you know of somebody that would be benefited by that, you're welcome to invite them to join with us. All right, and then our birthdays. We have several that are coming up this week. I believe Pastor Gossman is this week on November 2nd. And then Lance is on Election Day, November 3rd. And then we have Addie Ray on November the 4th. And then Mr. Ogden is coming up on November the 7th. So we've got quite a few birthdays. So we want to wish happy birthday to all those folks this week. All right, just want to see if anybody has a prayer request you'd like to share or a praise, any of those while we're here together, any praises or prayer requests. Yes, Rob. All right, unspoken for Rob. Pray for Rob's son, Scott, the direction for him. And then family of Larry Gregory, who passed away last Sunday. Pray for comfort for them. All right, anybody else this morning? Any other prayer requests, praises? Anybody else? Pray for our country this week. With this election on Tuesday, really need to pray for our country. All right. Well, let's take our song sheet then, and we'll go to our next song. We're going to be looking at Jesus as the Good Shepherd today in John chapter 10. And so let's sing here, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, 294.
Thank you.
scripture reading this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and reading verses 11 through 21 for our scripture reading. And I invite you to stand as we read responsively, standing in honor to God's word. John chapter 10, we'll read responsively verses 11 through 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
He is a hireling, not a shepherd, who knows the sheep and not us. He giveth the wolf running, and we leave the sheep, and we leave it. And the wolf catches them, and scatters the sheep.
The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Another sheep I have, which is part of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, and one shepherd.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Let's read verse 21 together. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. Bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you as your people in need of your guidance today, your special leading, your encouragement. And we thank you for this portion of your word that we have before us today and the comfort that we can receive from that, knowing that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We thank you for his leading in our lives and his sacrifice for us, his laying down of his life for us, and how we rejoice in that today, thinking of the death of our shepherd for the sheep. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide us, help us to follow you, help us to come to know you better this day through your word. And we pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit and through these words in the scriptures here today. Our Father, we think of those who are not able to be with us today. We pray that your hand of protection would be upon them. We pray for those that are sick. We pray for your healing hand upon them. We pray, Lord, for those who may be traveling today. Pray for your protection. We pray for those in special need of comfort and guidance. Lord, we pray that you would minister that to us today. Our Father, we are very burdened this week for our country. As we think of this election that is coming up, Lord, we are reminded in the scriptures that you are in control of the nations, and they are in your hands. And we know that's true of our own country. And yet, you've asked us to pray, Lord, for our authorities, that we might have peace here to serve you. And we ask you, especially today, that you would allow this country to have peace. Lord, we know we don't deserve it. We know there's many issues and problems in this country. But Father, we know that you're a gracious God, you're merciful, and you offer a chance, a second chance, for those who will repent. And so, Father, we pray that our nation would humble itself before you. We pray, Lord, that the people that are elected on Tuesday would be ones that would respect the principles of the Scripture. And, Father, we ask you for that and pray for that today. Lord, we pray for just stopping to those who would do harm to our country and would seek to promote the violence and the wickedness here. We ask for your special protection on this country this week. So we lift it up to you today. Father, we pray for the church. We thank you that we're gathered together as your people here today. And we pray that we would be a light in this country, in this community. And we pray that we would humble ourselves before you as you would have us to, and serve you as you would want us to. And Father, we pray for this assembly. We ask that you would strengthen it and grow it. And we pray that we would grow spiritually, and pray for our elders. We thank you that you've placed them here in this assembly. Pray for our ministry here among the flock. And pray for special wisdom for the elders, we pray. Lord, we've come here to worship you, and we are thankful for the opportunity to sing praises to you as you've instructed us to in your word. And we come also to worship you through our giving. We commit our offerings and tithes to you today, and we pray that you would be honored as your people give to you. And we pray that you would use these offerings for your honor and glory. We think of our missionaries today, and we pray for them. We pray for their witness. We pray that you would allow the gospel to go forth in many places around the world through what they do. Thank you for the part that we have in serving with them. And we pray for their special encouragement and that they would be faithful in their ministries, what they do. Father, we pray that you'd help us to be faithful here. Help us to serve you as you would have us to. And again, we thank you for the privilege of meeting here today to worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing now our next song. It's What a Wonderful Savior, number 454. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. Let's all stand as we sing. 454.
Oh.
I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, as we continue on in our series in the Gospel of John here, we have come to the section again where Jesus speaks in terms of a shepherd and a sheepfold. And last week we looked at Jesus as the door. He says, I am the door. He's the door to that sheepfold that he's talking about. And you remember, he's speaking to some of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. Back in chapter 9, they were the ones that were taking issue with him concerning the healing of the blind man, man that was born blind. And he's still speaking to them. And we saw that he emphasized to them the fact that he is the door for shepherds. They were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, the spiritual leaders. And yet they had rejected the door. They were thieves and robbers. They were trying to climb in over the wall, and they didn't come through the door. But then in verse 9, Jesus says, for anybody, he's the door for all the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then as we continue on here in the next paragraph here, Jesus shifts the focus to the shepherd. And in verse 10, or verse 11 rather, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. That's what we're going to be looking at today. And that title, of course, might make us think about maybe a good teacher, or a good ball player, or a good presidential candidate, as we're all thinking about that right now. And we speak of those people in that way. But the title, the Good Shepherd here, when Jesus says that, there's really no comparison to any of those other things. Jesus cannot be compared to any other shepherd. The meaning of that word good here is that he's the ideal. He is the excellent shepherd. There's no comparison to any other shepherd. And he speaks of himself in that way as well, as exclusively the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. There's no one else who is quite like the good shepherd. He's the one and only shepherd. So we're going to look here at what makes him that. Of course, his character makes him a good shepherd. But his focus here is on what he does as the good shepherd. And we see four different actions that the good shepherd takes that makes him good here in this passage. And first of all, we see that the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, sacrifices. The good shepherd sacrifices. That's the first thing he says here in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd sacrifices. You know, when we think of that term, shepherd, and of course we've sung that song this morning, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. We usually think primarily of a shepherd guiding us into pasture, and of course he does that. But here Jesus speaks of something that we don't usually associate with a shepherd, his sacrificing for the sheep. Would that be something that a shepherd does? It's hard to imagine giving your life for an animal. Would it really be worth it to give your life for a sheep, an animal? And really, if you were a shepherd, would it really help the sheep to give your life? You know, if you were a shepherd and you were leading a flock of sheep, you're there to care for them, and a danger comes and you decide to give your life and you die, what would that do for your sheep? Well, the sheep would probably scatter. It doesn't really help the sheep if a human shepherd gives up his life and sacrifices himself. But it's just the opposite for the good shepherd. When the good shepherd sacrifices for the sheep, he gives his life for the sheep, it helps the sheep. It actually is a substitutionary sacrifice, and we see that here in verse 11. He giveth his life for the sheep. That is the idea of substitution, giving his life in exchange for theirs. And of course, that's what Jesus does when he dies. It's a substitutionary, vicarious atonement. It's in the place of the ones that he dies for. He takes the punishment that they deserve. And this sacrifice helps the sheep. It's not just an example for the sheep to follow in sacrificing themselves. It's not merely that. It's much more than that. It's something that is a distinctive help for the sheep. And Jesus does that as the Good Shepherd. He sacrifices in a distinctive way. And now we see a contrast in verse 12. We've already seen some bad examples in this passage. Jesus speaks about the thieves and the robbers that are going in another way. And he's talking about the religious leaders, comparing them to thieves and robbers. They hadn't gone through the door. And now there's another more negative example here in verse 12 that's a contrast to Jesus. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. What's a hireling? A hireling is just a paid worker, somebody who is hired, who's paid. And there's nothing wrong with being a paid worker. But Jesus is talking about the attitude of a paid worker, of a hireling. And he's contrasting that attitude to the Good Shepherd. The attitude of that paid worker is different. And that's probably true in the business world. You know, the owner of the company is probably struggling to find people who really care about the work they're doing and care about the company and the other people there and the customers. But the owner has a much different attitude towards things. He cares about the way things are done. And the same is true in the sheep business, I guess. The hireling is different, has a different attitude than the owner of the flock, the rancher perhaps. And the point is that Jesus Christ has a much different attitude towards his sheep. We see that displayed when the danger comes. There's a wolf. You can imagine a wolf, and he's thirsty for some sheep blood. And that wolf comes and attacks. And it says the hireling flees. He's not there to risk his life to save these sheep. He gets away. He's concerned about his own skin. But there's a much different attitude that the shepherd has here. And Jesus is contrasting that. Jesus is a caring shepherd. He cares for the sheep, and that's why he sacrifices for them. You know, the wolves are a real danger in Scripture. Jesus warned about wolves. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" The Apostle Paul talked about wolves in his challenge, his farewell to the elders at the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Of course, they weren't talking about literal animals coming through the church doors, but he's talking about people. People that are very vicious and dangerous. And the devil would like nothing more than to find hirelings among his people. Those that will flee when he attacks and allow him to have his way with the sheep and to destroy the faith of the lambs and to scatter them into the world. So there's a contrast here to the shepherds of Israel and the shepherds even of today. There's a contrast with the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd is just the opposite. The Good Shepherd does care for the sheep. Perhaps you've heard of the book by Philip Keller, who was a sheep rancher, and he wrote the book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And he spoke of some of the characteristics of sheep in that book. And he says that sheep require much more attention than any other livestock. They just can't take care of themselves unless their shepherd makes them move on. The sheep will actually ruin a pasture, eating every blade of grass until finally a fertile pasture is nothing but barren soil. Sheep are nearsighted and very stubborn, but easily frightened. The entire flock can be stampeded by a jackrabbit. They have little means of defense. They're timid, feeble creatures. Their only recourse is to run if no shepherd is there to protect them. Sheep have no homing instincts. A dog, a horse, a cat, or a bird can find its way home. But when a sheep gets lost, it's a goner until someone rescues it. And that's the picture of us. That's the picture of sheep, of Christians, of followers of the Good Shepherd. We need a shepherd. We can't make it on our own. We can't face the dangers that are out there in life by ourselves, on our own. There's physical dangers we face, of course, but also spiritual dangers. And this is a reminder of how much we need Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd because of His care for us. So He sacrifices. He has that distinctive sacrifice that no one else can make. It's a caring sacrifice. And then secondly, we see another action that the Good Shepherd has here, and that is in verses 14 through 15, the Good Shepherd knows. The Good Shepherd knows. Look at verse 14. I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd knows. And there's a mutual knowledge here that Jesus is talking about. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. Is that just sort of a mental knowledge? They know the name? No, of course, in the Scripture, knowledge is much deeper than that. It's a knowledge of a personal relationship. It is a knowledge that includes love, a knowledge that includes ownership of the shepherd for the sheep. And Jesus knows the sheep. Jesus knows the ones who are His sheep and the ones who aren't. Now, to us, we can't always tell the difference. But the Good Shepherd knows the ones who are truly His sheep, the ones who have real faith, the ones who have truly repented of their sins, put their faith in Christ. Jesus knows them. He knows the ones who aren't. He knows the difference here. And the sheep know the shepherd. They follow Him. The true sheep, they know His voice. They flee from strangers. They grow in their knowledge of the shepherd. You know, we have various levels of knowing people in our life. You might know somebody and just be acquainted with them. You might be, you might be a friend on Facebook. We have that level of knowledge. And that's not always a very personal level of knowledge, but you might be acquainted with them enough to do that, or you might know that somebody goes to your school and you can recognize their face. You've maybe seen them before, or somebody works at the same place you do and you've maybe seen them at a distance. Maybe you know their name, maybe you don't. But there's another level of knowledge that's different for your family, for your children, for your parents, for your brothers and sisters. You know them. You know who they are. You know where they come from. You know what they like, what they don't like. And this knowledge is what the Good Shepherd has towards His sheep. It's more than just the fact that He knows that you're on a list somewhere. There is a book of life in heaven, of course. He has our names written down, and He knows our names. But His knowledge of the sheep, of us, is much deeper than that even. It is a deep and personal knowledge of the sheep. He knows the struggles that you have. He knows the disappointments that you have, the trials that you have, the health problems that you have, the academic challenges that you might have. He knows all of that. And sometimes we go through life and some get disappointed because, the people that are close to you, it seems that they don't know. They don't care very much. They don't care very much about what you're going through, and they don't seem to know that at all. But it's much different for the shepherd. need to remember that we have a good shepherd that knows us. He knows everything. He knows everything. And he cares about it. Other people may not seem to know and care, but Jesus, the good shepherd, knows about that. It's an intimate knowledge. Verse 15 is compared to the knowledge of Jesus and the Father. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, what is that like? Well, if you look down at John 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. And then verse 38, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Jesus compares that knowledge that he has of the sheep to the relationship that he has with the Father. It's a oneness that he has with the Father. And it's that level of intimacy and knowledge that the Good Shepherd has towards his sheep. Maybe you've heard the story of a famous actor that was once asked to give a recitation before a group of people. It was suggested that he quote the 23rd Psalm. We heard the 23rd Psalm quoted this morning in Sunday school from some of the girls. They're learning that. And this famous actor quoted that. He did it with such great skill. And he sat down and everybody applauded, clapped their hands. And then there was an old preacher there who had actually asked him to quote that psalm. And he stood up and he gave his rendition of Psalm 23. And it was much different. It didn't have the flair of the actor. But in a weak and trembling voice, the old man uttered the same simple verses. And no one applauded this time. Instead, they wept. And the actor stood up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I communicated with your ears and your eyes. I know the words. But my old friend here communicated with your hearts. He knows the shepherd. He knows the shepherd. You know, not everybody knows the good shepherd. Not everybody knows the good shepherd. But there are some people who do know, and they have known the good shepherd for their entire lives. And those who do, they love him. And some of you, even here today, you have a whole lifetime of following the good shepherd. And you know him in a much better way than some who have not followed him as long. You know what it's like to be led by the shepherd, to be cared for by the shepherd. And people like that, you wouldn't have it any other way. And that same experience can be yours if you will follow him, if you will believe and come to him in faith. So the good shepherd sacrifices, the good shepherd knows. And then thirdly, we see the good shepherd seeks. The good shepherd seeks. Look at verse 16. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The good shepherd seeks. Seeks other sheep. Who are these other sheep? Who is Jesus talking about? Other sheep. Well, they seem to be those who are not Jews. Those who are not Israel. You remember Jesus? He's speaking in Jerusalem probably. Speaking to these Jewish leaders. And he's telling them that he has other sheep that are not of this Jewish fold. You notice that he speaks of them as his sheep. Other sheep have I. Reminds us of how God spoke of the Corinthians to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18. Paul had just been in Corinth. He'd gone through a difficult time preaching in the synagogue. He'd been cast out. He was probably discouraged. And the Lord came to him by night in a vision. And he said this, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. God wanted Paul to stay in Corinth and not leave and go on right away because God had much people in that city of Corinth. Other sheep he had. And Jesus, the good shepherd, seeks those other sheep. He was using the Apostle Paul and his ministry to seek those other sheep and to bring them in. And he seeks a goal for his sheep here. Notice the goal here, verse 16. Them also I must bring, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In other words, Jesus is looking to the future, and he's seeing, I think, the church here. And it's not going to be a fold that is the Jews over here and a fold over here for the Gentiles. No, that's not how it will be. It will be one flock, one fold, under one shepherd, Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul taught that in Ephesians chapter 2, trying to get the Ephesians to realize what the church is. It's not just, the people becoming Jews. But he teaches in Ephesians chapter 2 that it is both Jews and Gentiles brought together into one. Ephesians chapter 2, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished it in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There was tremendous division. There was a wall there between Jews and Gentiles, the law. And God has done something now through the death of Christ to bring together Jews and Gentiles into one, as he speaks of here, one church. And he's bringing them together so that they can be one. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. My iPad here is, there we go, taking control on me here. Does that mean that there needs to be one visible organization? You know, does that mean that Christianity needs to come together into one organization? You know, that's what some people believe. That's what the Roman Catholic Church has as its main tenet, one of its main tenets. The church is one. There is one Roman Catholic Church. There's not many different ones. It's all one. Is that what it's saying here? No, it's a unity that is much deeper than that. It's a real unity in the faith of the one shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's a unity that we can't see. It's a unity that exists. We have Christians all over the world that are united under one shepherd, Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean they're all in the same denomination. But they're united in Jesus Christ. You know, I think that's an important fact to remember in this day in which we live. We're seeing more and more the tensions and the divisions that exist in our own country. And what is it that's really going to help all of those tensions and those divisions that we see? Well, I believe it's going to be through people coming under not one political leader, but one spiritual shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have that unity, even though we have so many outward differences. We have unity in Jesus Christ, unity through the shepherd. And so that's the goal of the seeking here. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. A man by the name of Peter Cameron Scott was born in Scotland in 1867. He would go on to become the founder of a mission agency in Africa. But when he first went to the field in Africa, he really had a hard time. His first trip to Africa, he had to come home because he contracted malaria, got very sick, and he was sent home to Scotland to recuperate. He made plans to return a second time because his brother went with him, his brother John, and they returned to work there in Africa, and before long, his brother also got sick and his brother actually died there in Africa. All alone, Peter buried his brother. And yet, in his agony, he recommitted himself to preaching the gospel in Africa. After that, his health gave way again, and he had to return. And he spent some time in England. During that time, he committed himself to God, and there was a point where he found some encouragement. He visited the Westminster Abbey, and there was a tombstone. David Livingstone, that famous missionary who had gone before him to Africa, his tomb is there. And Peter Scott went in and found that tomb, and he read the inscription on David Livingstone's tomb there in Westminster Abbey. And there on his tomb are these words: "Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them I also must bring." And it was with that encouragement of those words that are found here in John chapter 10 that Peter Scott went back to Africa again. And it was from his work that a famous mission was founded there in Africa to continue to spread the gospel. But it should be an encouragement to us that the Good Shepherd seeks other sheep. The Good Shepherd seeks other sheep. If he chooses to utilize us in doing that, that's a great blessing. But if not, we know that the Good Shepherd has not failed. He knows what is best. The fact is that he cares about those lost sheep, those other sheep, more than anybody else, more than we do. And we can trust that he will bring them. "Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold." The Good Shepherd sacrifices. The Good Shepherd knows. The Good Shepherd seeks. And then, fourthly, here we see that the Good Shepherd serves. The Good Shepherd serves. Notice verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." The Good Shepherd serves. He lays down his life. We see in verse 17, the Father loves him for his service. Of course, the Father loves Jesus for who he is, the only begotten Son of God. But we see that the willingness here of Jesus to serve, to lay down his life, is something that pleases the Father even more. The Father knows all that is involved in that sacrifice. You know, as parents, we love our children because of who they are. They're our children. You know, we love them. But, of course, when that child does something, like they go and they willingly clean the kitchen and do the dishes. They willingly clean their room, and you don't have to get on them about that. But they do something voluntarily to serve. You know, the parent is pleased by that, and same with the father. When the father sees Jesus and his willing service, the Father loves the Son. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." You know, as we look at the life of Jesus, we know what's going to happen. Soon his enemies that he's speaking to are going to take control. They're going to arrest Jesus. They are going to give him an unfair trial. They are going to sentence him to death on a cross. You remember, he was crucified there beside two criminals. There's Jesus. It looks as if he's just another criminal as he dies there. You know, from the human perspective, it looks like a great accident took place. Something happened and evil men took control. But from the Bible's perspective and from God's perspective, it was not an accident. In fact, as Jesus says here in verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." The Apostles Peter and John, when they're preaching in the book of Acts, they understood this as they spoke to perhaps some of the same people that crucified Jesus. Just a short time after that, Peter and John were preaching in Jerusalem. And they said in Acts 4:27, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." They're speaking of God. It looked like Pontius Pilate, the other Gentile authorities, the Romans, the people of Israel, looked like they were having their will, but in reality, it was God's hand that was at work. And it was Jesus serving. He was willingly laying down his life, and he did it in a way that nobody else could do that. He laid down his life, as the Bible says here, in order to take it again, verse 17, "because I lay down my life that I might take it again," and he has the power. Only Jesus has the power to be able to do that, to offer up his life. Somebody today might be able to give their own life, but nobody has the power to take it again. Jesus did that. He serves in a way that no one else can. He lays down his life that he might take it again. That is what makes Jesus the Good Shepherd. He sacrifices. He knows. He seeks. And he serves. Notice the response to the Good Shepherd. Verse 19. "There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, 'He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?'" There's some people, after Jesus talked about him being the Good Shepherd, they thought, "He's got a demon. He's demon-possessed. How could somebody say this, that he's going to lay down his life and take it again? Who does that? He's crazy." But there were others who didn't think that. Verse 21, "Others said, 'These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?'" Some people were impressed with him. They noticed the genuine miracle that was done at the hands of Jesus. There was no neutrality here. We see that so many times in the Bible. There's no neutrality with Jesus. And the same is true with Jesus as a good shepherd. The same is true today. What's your response to Jesus as he reveals himself as the good shepherd? Trust that you'll see the good shepherd as your shepherd, and that you will come to know him and to follow him and to trust in his care. He does care, and he knows the ones that are his. Would you bow your heads as we pray this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he did it willingly, and that it wasn't an accident. We thank you that he did it in our place for the sheep. We know we don't deserve it, but Father, we thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you that we have a good shepherd even today that leads us and guides us and truly cares for us. We pray that we would all come to know him better and to follow him every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing now.